Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough and Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today I'm excited because today I want to talk to you for a couple of minutes about reconstructing your life. And I'll tell you, I woke up this morning and I really feel the anointing and the power of God just really surging through my body, and to be honest with you. And I really feel that we're in a time this season where things are beginning to happen. And it can happen negatively or positively. It can happen for God's kingdom, or it can happen for the evil. But here's the situation I want us to take home today, is you have got to get in control of your life. You know, one of the things I realized this morning when I woke up is God just pouring into my spirit that it's time for us to get serious about reconstructing and tearing down to build up our lives. You know, when we look at the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 and 3, we read where God had a mission for Jeremiah. God had a mission for Jeremiah, and that mission was to be a prophet to the nations, but also to tear down. I mean, we forget, folks, to tear down before we can build up, to pull up, to root up. You know, I have a beautiful backyard and a front yard, and even though I have, you know, lawn people come and take care of it, there are times I get out there and I'm like, man, there's weeds here. And pulling up those weeds sometimes are not easy, folks. You know, those weeds, the actual root of the weeds gets sort of embedded and entangled among the pretty grass and the different plants we have. And I tell you, it's been difficult because you look at that and you think, what on earth? It's like weeds get so strategic. And to know how to weave its web around things that need to be beautiful, that need to grow, that need to prosper, that need to be nourished, and that things that look lovely in our lives. And it loves to, because of strategic planning, truthfully, the weeds like to get in there and it grows around it and it just entangles until it chokes the life out of it. And folks, here's the situations we're running into today, is we need to reconstruct our lives and be serious about it. There's a season that we're in right now of great discipline. It's a disciplinary season to look at our lives and say, you know, what area in my life needs to be changed? What area in my life needs to be fixed? Folks, let me tell you something. You cannot sit here back and rely so much on God to fix my life. God, fix my life. God, fix my life. You know, here's the situation. You know, you can look at... There's a TV show actually on OWN Network, and many of you might have heard of this lady named Iyanta, and it's Fix My Life, Iyanta. And it's that reality show where she goes as a psychologist and a counselor and basically a motivational speaker, life coach. She gets into the homes of people and she sits down with them, and whether they're going through divorce or they're going through lust or they're going through pride or financial problems, and they have discouragement and they're on the border of divorce and they don't know what to do with their lives, and yet, you know, it's Fix My Life, Iyanta. So she gets in there, she sits down, and she tells like it is. I mean, she tells them, you need to straighten up. This has got to be dealt with. And you know, folks, here's the reality of life, is we can look and say, well, she goes as the savior, so to say, to fix their situations. But here's the problem with that. You know what she does? She goes in there and she pulls out the best of them as well. She lets them know, you can do this thing. You have the power. You know, one thing about a life coach, and really, to be honest with you, prophets, you know, motivational speakers, what they do is they get into the heart of humanity, and they let people know, you know what, I can't give you anything. You have it in you. You've got to stir it up. You've got to activate it in you. You know, one of my favorite verses is where Paul told Timothy, you know, in the New Testament, he says, Paul, stir up the gifts of God that have been placed on you by the laying on of hands. Stir them up, Timothy. You have it in you to stir it up. And today, many of you might feel discouraged or feel as if my life is just not moving. It's not budging, Jeremy. I'm just so tired of my current situation. I'm so exhausted. I'm worn out. Well, here's the problem with that, guys, is we've got to fix our life. We can't expect someone else to come into our house. You can't expect God to come as Iyanta or maybe some motivational speaker to come into your house and make it work for you. That's not how life is. God's job, so to say, is not to come into your life and fix everything. God's job is what He said in His Word, and that is He died on the cross that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Folks, you already have life because of what He's done for you. Listen to me. You know, I'm shaking myself here, folks. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And today, look at your life and start shaking your life and say, come on, snap out of it. You know, it sort of reminds me of the movie. Many of you might remember back in the, gosh, I think it was the early 80s, the movie Moonstruck. You know, and it had the singer Cher in it, and she, you know, and she was talking to this gentleman, and she slapped his face, and she said, you know, snap out of it, you know. And for some reason, God just popped that in my spirit. And it's time, folks, if I could just sit here and find yourself just slapping your face and saying, snap out of it. You know, I tell myself a lot, Jeremy, snap out of it. Get back into reality. You know, you got to be in charge of this life that God's given you. He's died that you can have a life and have it more abundantly, which means He already paid the price and has already given you God. He's already given you Holy Spirit. He's already given you power. He's already given you authority. He's already given you the things in which you need. He said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You have that abundance of life, folks, embedded inside of you. You have that treasure in your earthen vessel. You have the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in you. You have resurrection power. You have everything. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You have the potential, life and death in your tongue. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Folks, let me tell you something. God's job is not to come down and fix your world. Pardon me for just breaking and knocking over your sacred cows. That's not God's job. You know, when we pray, we don't pray, God, help me. God, come fix my life. Oh, God, I'm in trouble. God, you're going to have to tell me what to do. You know, I talk to people all the time in life coaching. And trust me, folks, this is the common thread that I hear among Christians. You know, why won't God do something? Why won't God do something? And I'm always asking them, what are you doing? Well, I'm waiting on God. No, stop. Stop it. Because here's the situation. To the kingdom of God, it says what? It says, those who wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. The word wait in Hebrew has five or six definitions. And one of the main strongest definition is those who bind together, those who twist together. The word wait means bind and twist together. Many of you that really are followers of and advocates of this ministry, you understand the fact, you know, that that's what I've taught for years. The Hebrew word for the word wait means to bind and twist together, which means those who work, those who draw near to God, those who put action behind their faith, those who begin to do something. Folks, you know what? You're in a season. If you want to reconstruct your life, you got to do something for God's kingdom. You got to do something about your life. You know, God's, once again, God's job is not to come down and fix you. You know, He's not a motivational speaker, He's not a life coach. Even though we can technically say, well, yes, He is. But what God would do is He'd say, look, I've already given it to you. And if you really believe God's word, and I want to challenge each one of you today, if those who say, oh man, I'm a big believer in God's word, then practice it. Practice what you truly believe. If you practice what you truly believe, then you know what? Your life would be better. You would rip up. You would root up like the prophet Jeremiah did. You would tear down the things in your life that need to be dealt with. You know, one thing I do in my life, if I don't see something budging, I move it out of the way. If I don't see something in my life that's not pleasing to me, I move it out of the way. I reshape it. I dive in there. I tear it up to pieces. It's like taking a piece of paper and ripping it up to shreds. I pull what I need out of it, and I realize you're dead weight. You no longer need to be there. Get rid of it. You know, those who sit here and say, complain and moan and gripe and like the children of Israel, oh God, when are you going to do something? Oh God, help me. Oh God, I'm miserable. Well, don't be miserable. Oh God, I'm depressed. Well, don't be depressed. It might be easier said than done. And yes, there's grace and compassion for those who are clinically depressed and those who really need prayer and strength and medication. And you know what? For those of you who do, I say, praise God. I'm thrilled for those who do action. And here's the thing. If it's something you need to do to say, I'm going to the doctor. I'm getting my rear end up and I'm going to the doctor. I'm not going to be prideful about it. If I need medication because I'm oppressed or depressed, I'm going to do something about it. And I would applaud you and say, good for you. Get on the medication. Find strength in God. Watch God bring you the joy again. Because you know what? I've realized in my life, when you are desperate enough, folks, listen to me now. When you are desperate for change, if you're desperate to have a change and a move of God in your life, trust me, you'll do something about it. If you don't like, if you're the kind of person who's always praying, God, do this, God, do that. Oh, my life needs help, Jeremy. Oh, I don't know what to do. If you're that person, let me tell you something. You have the power, you need to change it. No one else does. You have the power. You know your own world. Think about that. You know your own sphere of influence. You know your metron. You know your world more than anyone else in your life. You do. Because either you help cultivate it, you help create it, or you help get yourself in the mess, and you can get yourself out of the mess. And here's the reality of it, folks. You have that anointing and that breaker power anointing and the authority to do something. God wants you to use His name. Use the name of Jesus. Use the name of God. Use it to exercise it and break what needs to be broken, folks. And when you do, life will be better for you. But you've got to root up. You've got to plant up. You know, and think about this way. This will break your paradigms. When God told Jeremiah, and he said what? He said, look, I knew you. Before you were ever in your mother's womb, I knew you. Called you to be prophet of the nations. Your job, your ministry, your prophesying, what you're going to do is this. You're going to root up. You're going to build. You're going to tear down. And you're going to plant. These things, these ideas that God put in Jeremiah were anointings instilled in him. And now these things have been given to us as the body of believers to say, if you don't like something, tear it up. God didn't say, here's what's going to happen, Jeremiah. I'm going to root up. I'm going to do all this stuff through you. You're going to do absolutely nothing. You just sit there, eat a lot, and get big, get fat. And that's what you got. Don't worry about anything. I'll do it. No, no, folks, listen to me now. That's not how God's kingdom functions. If you want change, you want something done, do it. You want some change in your life, do it. You know how many people I've talked to who said, man, I'd love to move. I can't stand the city, can't stand the state, can't stand what's going on. I wish I could move. And I would say, what's stopping you? Well, you know, I'm waiting on God. What are you waiting on? You expecting God to come down and just, thus saith the Lord, and vibrate your house and say, thus saith the Lord, you shall move to Florida. You shall move to California. You should move to the panhandle. Thus saith the Lord. No, let me tell you something, folks. Listen, God's green, and I preach this. I live this principle. It was taught to me back in the 80s by a powerful Word of Faith man. I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of where I come from as a Word of Faith, as someone who knows that if you don't like your environment, you speak life into it and you shift it and change it. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so easy. I live by that principle of the Word. I live by it. And one of the things he said to me that I never in my life will forget, I've lived by it to this very day, the light of God is always green. If he wants you to stop, he will put up the red light. Quit always feeling as if your paradigm is always a red light and you're waiting on God to give you the green light. Folks, that is unbiblical, it's unscriptural, and the bottom line is this, it's showing me that you think from a negative point of view. It's like seeing the glass half empty as opposed to half full. That's not how the kingdom works, folks. God doesn't want you to stay in a stop mode until he tells you to go. That's ridiculous. What he wants you to do is stay into a green mode. Stay into a go mode. Go mode. Because bottom line is, look at the disciples. Look at the disciples. Go into all the world. He didn't tell them, now you stay until I tell you to go. Okay, now take five feet. Okay, now you stay until I tell you to go. No. He said, go into all the world, make disciples. Just go. I think as charismatic folks and Pentecostal people, and this is probably one of the major things that annoys me about the charismatic Pentecostal move, is we rely so much on God to tell us when to go to the bathroom, when to buy a hair dryer, when to buy a wash machine, when to buy a car. You know, trust me, y'all might laugh and say, you're kidding me. Folks, I am not kidding you. I am telling you the truth. I've talked to people who do that. Don't make a move. Won't go to church. Won't do anything until God tells them to. And I want you about to say, first of all, if you want to get technical about it, I'm telling you as a prophet this from the truth of God's Word, and that is this. You are led by the Spirit. You are led by the Spirit. Look at the Holy Spirit. Now, once again, for all those people who are very religious and think what I'm about to say is New Age, all I got to tell you is I love you, but get over it. It's time to quit being so religious-minded, folks. The word energy is a God word, okay? It's a God word. In fact, it comes from the word energia, which is a Latin word. So if anyone ever tells you, ooh, don't use the word energy, it's a New Age, just know they got a lot of growing up in the kingdom to do, a lot of spiritual growth to do. You know, sons are always tossed to and fro by everyone of doctrine. So you got to understand it's time to grow up and mature in the kingdom and take these words and realize we don't have to take them back from the devil. The devil never had them. They're God's words. You know, it's time we grow up into maturity. So consider the Holy Spirit like energy, okay? And the reason why I say like in the Holy Spirit like energy is because of the simple fact that we have to look at it to realize that energy, and it's a great concept to look at the Holy Spirit, because energy is something that has to flow. Energy is always a constant flow of movement. So think of the word energy in the sense of energetic. So that's like the Holy Spirit. Consider the Holy Spirit like that of energy that's energetic. It's always flowing and going. The power of God is always flowing and going, which means he's not going to stop stop, stay still, stagnant, just waiting to go. No. So whatever you feel in your life, if you have not heard from God and God hasn't said, stop, don't do this, don't do that. If you haven't heard from God, then consider your life to be a green light, because your life is a green light. Until God tells you to stop, you go. You go. God created us to be like energy. That's why science backs it up 101%, folks. And that is, science lets us know from the very beginning, you know, that God, basically God created everything in the universe to be energy. That's just how, that's reality, folks. Everything in the world is energy. Everything in creation, everything in the universe is energy. And once we get a hold of that, we see God in a bigger, deeper light. We see Him as who He really is, as one big, by a massive God who created everything, including science. And when you see that life that way, you understand science lets you know that we are energy slowed down into matter. Everything is you, your car, your body, your clothes, your chair, your house, the floor in which you stand on. Everything, folks. Your church, hello. Yes, your church is nothing but pure energy. You know, your chairs are nothing but pure energy. When you go to church and you think you're not into science, but you're into God, and you're sitting in a chair, in a pew, in your church, I have to tell you something. As much as you are in God, you are also in science. When people say, oh, I'm in God. Well, you know what? You're also in science, because God created science, and God created everything to be energy. Which means when you're in church, you're actually in energy. You are sitting on energy. You are pure energy in standing up when you worship, and the atmosphere is full of pure energy. That's just reality, folks. If you don't like it, you can't like God, because God created energy. God is energy. God is power. God is light. God is love. God is Father. God is anything and everything. He's friend. He is anything and everything, because He is God. You cannot have the name God unless you are everything. That's why Colossians backs it up. God is in everything. God makes it plain. God is in everything. Don't say God is just in here. God is in everything. Not trying to get on that subject, but I'm letting you know to break those sacred cows of yours of pure religion and tradition that make the Word of God of an effect. And so today, folks, if knowing that the Holy Spirit is a likened unto that, then He's telling you it's time to go. It's time to go. If you don't like your life, go. Change it. Metamorphosize into something else. You know, cause your life to evolve into something that needs to be like God, more like God. Cause your life to be flowing as energy. You know, if something in my life is stagnant or still, I move it and I push it out of the way, because I'm like, you know what? You're like energy, because you are energy. You got to move. You got to get out of the way. You got to flow. It's time for you to get unstuck and go on. And that's the whole purpose of life, folks. It's time to reconstruct your life. We live in a season that we must move into change. We have to accept change, folks. And change might not always be good. It might be good or bad. But either way, God is saying, if you lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge me. Don't lean to the arm of the flesh, you know, which is basically trusting in human reasoning and trusting in things of the flesh. But if you're led by my Spirit, He'll lead you unto all truth, the Bible says. And so if you led into all truth, go into all truth, folks. Let me put it to you bluntly, the way God puts it to me a lot. Everything in your life that is stuck, that is stagnant, that is not budging, things that are annoying, things that won't move. Let me tell you something. Here's the reality of it. Everything right there is not in truth. Because the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit will lead you into all truth, which means it's going to be led. That is energetic. When you're leading, that means you are going things. You're going places. You're doing something. Leading is an actionary word, folks. Hello? It didn't say He's going to budge you into all truth. He's going to lead you into all truth. Think about that for a moment. How many of you right now, you need to make some notes? He didn't say he's not gonna budge you into all truth. He's gonna tell you stand still into all truth. He says He's gonna lead you. In an actionary word, He's leading you. That's energy flowing. He's leading you. It's moving, like you're getting in a car and you're moving. So anything in your life right now that you're not happy with, that won't budge, won't move, move it out of the way. Move it out of the way, folks. Allow everything to be energetic and flow, because you know what? You gotta go. If things don't flow, you don't go. Are you with me? If things don't flow, you don't go. That's a key element that you got to grab a hold of today. And it's time to be sons of the Almighty God. I could preach on this all day long. I preach on this for weeks. Sons of God know how to reconstruct. Sons of God know how to tear down and build up in their life. You know, sons of God walk in a way we understand what it means to be heads. Heads and not the tails. It means that we are major servants, but we're also major leaders. Where we lead, we look at our lives and we say, where in my life can I begin to minister? Where in my life can I begin to use my gifts, my talents, my anointing, spiritually and naturally? Where in my life do I need help? If I need help financially, I get a better job. If I need help financially, I bust my rear end to work hard. I get the wisdom I need to be an entrepreneur. I begin to start something, create something, do something that my God would do. And God said, let there be, I let there be. I create out of the existence of God in me. I begin to create out of the very substance of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that dwells in you, in me, to begin to create and resurrect something that needs to be promoted, needs to be favored, that needs to be multiplied, expanded. I create out of that situation. That's what God wants you to do, folks. All right, so today I'm charged up again. Can you tell? I want you to begin to take this message. Run with it. Make your life count. Your life is not going to count for something if you look back and say, I never owned anything, never had anything, never used my gifts, never used my natural talents, and I still make the same amount of money I made 10 years ago. If you're making the same amount of money you made 10 years ago, shame on you. You know what? Shame on you. You're not going from glory to glory. I don't care how anointed you are, how many portals of God you're under. I don't care how many clouds follow you by day. That doesn't matter. Because you know what? You got to prosper even as your soul prospers. If you're not budging naturally, like you're budging, like you're moving in the spirit realm, you are off balance, folks. You're off balance. What you're telling me is you don't know how to run your life in the natural. You don't know how to move in the promotion, the favor of God to make your life multiply. And yet you think you're doing that in the spirit realm? Come on, folks. You know I'm preaching good. If you think you're doing that in the spirit realm, but you can't even do it in the natural, in the areas in which you can see, I got news for you folks. You're not making any effects in the spirit realm. You're just living in a world of delusion, thinking that that everything in the spirit realm is moving and flowing and bowing at your feet, when yet you can't even do something in the natural that causes your hands to prosper. That you can't even budge something in the natural in which you can see. Hello? And the Bible makes it very plain. How on earth can you love God you can't see when you can't even love the neighbor standing beside you that you can see? Something's wrong with that situation and that scenario. So I would say this to you. You need to measure your life and realize I have power of keys to unlock and loose in the natural and in the spiritual. And so when you think you're glorified and, oh man, I'm moving in portals and I've got visitations daily, and yet you're struggling paying your bills, and yet you're not making any money, and you're in debt, I have news for you. You're living in a world of delusion. Your spiritual walk is just something that you've made up and hyped up. Hello. You know what I'm saying is true, folks, because the Bible makes it plain. A false balance is an abomination before the Lord. I didn't say it, God did. It's in, I think, Proverbs or Ecclesiastes. A false balance, which means an unjust weight, is abomination before the Lord. It's time, folks, we begin to get our house in order and begin to realize, you know what? I'm not delusioning myself anymore. I'm not hyping my spiritual walk up. If I can't do it in the natural, what makes me think I can do it in the spirit realm? When I have keys in both realms, it's time, folks, to take your spiritual walk and your natural walk to a higher existence, to a higher plane, and make life work for you. You've got everything it takes in the kingdom. By the blood of Jesus, you got everything you need to do right now. Go and create. Go and reconstruct and make your life count. And if you want to, then you know, if you really believe God's word, live in that abundance of life. If He died and gave your life and gave it to you more abundantly, and you're not living the abundance of life soulishly, naturally, and spiritually, then you know what? You're not living in what Jesus paid for you to live in. Make life count right now. Shift your job. Shift your housing. Shift the way you live, the way you drive. Shift the way you think. The main thing in life is this. You got to shift the way you think first. If your paradigms are not shifting, you'll never change your life. Thoughts become things. Shift your way you think, and your life will begin to change. I guarantee you. I promise you that. That's just how the world functions. All right? So I want to leave you that today, because I want to be able to empower all of you today. I want to empower all of our thousands of listeners to begin to reconstruct their life today. Make life count, folks, in Jesus' name. Hey, God bless you. Thank you again for listening to our broadcast. I want to really encourage you and challenge each one of you. Go to our website, identitynetwork.net. We have thousands of books, products added daily. We have courses. I have 9 or 10 courses out. I have 20-something books out and releasing another one here in a couple of months. And I want to encourage you right now, if you're saying, you know what, Jeremy, you're right. I'm so over it. I'm so tired of thinking the way I think. How can I make my life change? I have a great thing for you. Out of all my courses and everything I'd love to recommend, I'll tell you right now, life begins not with your anointing. Okay, let me put it to you bluntly. Life begins not with your anointing. Life begins with how you think. Because if you think low, if you have low self-esteem and you're thinking negative and you're thinking from a place of not from the mind of Christ, I don't care how much anointing you have, you will never use your anointing. Because you've got to be able to know that you know that you know your identity is in Him and build yourself up in your most holy faith, know who you are, and begin to think like God. If you can't think like God, don't expect things to be done. That's just the reality of it. Because if I think negatively, everything I see spiritually and naturally will be viewed as being negatively. But when I think like God, my life shifts and changes. And so go to the website, identitynetwork.net. When you go there, I want you to look up the School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. Now once again, folks, don't be religious on me, okay? Knock it over your sacred cows. Thought, visualization, and imagination come from Hebrew and Greek words. To visualize is one of the most scriptural things we can ever in our lives come to. Does it mean some new age hokey pokey, visualization, I'm getting in my body stuff? What we're dealing with, folks, is learning how to see how God sees. Visualizing, seeing through the eyes of God. How does God view your life? Are you seeing your life the same way He's viewing it? Are you with me? If not, you got to realign and adjust to visualizing and move into visualization of reconstructing your eyesight to see how God sees, having an ear to hear and an eye to see. The thought process. Why does God say He wants you to possess the mind of Christ, not the heart of Christ? Even though we should have the heart of Christ, because the mind controls everything. Everything, folks. Everything. And so let me teach you and train you some deep material. It's all biblical, and it's going to change and challenge your life. So it's called School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. And I promise you, folks, from all the thousands of other people who've taken the course that tell me the same thing, my life is not the same. My life is not the same. It changed my world. Changed the way I think, changed the way I talked, changed the way I walked, changed everything. That's what I want. That's what you will get in this course. So go today and order School of Thought, Visualization, and Imagination. If you need our number to order it, call us here at the office. 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. God bless you.